station, now number one for podcasting.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon on a Football Friday, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours talking sports and a whole lot of football, I'm assuming, although there will be some college basketball sprinkled in here on the radio program. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this, 10:30. We will start with our friend Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com. The men's hoopsters are in action tonight. The football, obviously, tomorrow, 2:30, when the Gophers come to town. Floyd of Rosedale, so cold, I can't get my mouth to work, will be in the stadium. Will it take a bus trip north, or will it stay right there? Dave Sproul on Iowa State. They're in action tonight at Hilton Coliseum. Pretty big one. Oregon State in town to take on a TJ squad. That tips on ESPN Plus. If you don't have it, you want to hear it, you can tune your radio down the dial to 100.3 The Bus. That's where the Cyclones play here in central Iowa. So Dave Sproul will join us at 10:45 talking Texas Tech and Oregon State, amongst other topics with Dave. 11:05, Trent, Bama Bob, and I will go around college football. Seven or eight games, I think, on the docket today to opine on. We will do that at 11:05. Give you, our listeners, four of you anyways, an opportunity to win some barbecue from Claxons about 11:35, 11:40-ish before we make our picks to get out of here just before noon. And you head to the Dome to call both semifinals, you and Joe Stacy, on 96.9 The Bull. Early game, Valley and Ankeny, City High and SEP. What, a half hour after the early game concludes, roughly? 7:30 is when it's scheduled?
Well, it's scheduled for 7.
Oh, is it?
The chances of it happening at 7...
Yeah, not very good.
Not real high.
Right.
No. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to be in the Dome. It's not like we're going to be outside.
Right.
You got climate controlled. It is a beautiful 71 degrees inside the Unidome. Looking forward to it. Should have a chance to be two really, really good games. And tell you what, those Little Hawks from Eastern Iowa... Well, no surprise, a little chirpiness going on over there, but a lot of confidence coming out of Mitch Moore's program. We will see tonight.
Southeast Polk, I saw that the Iowa State football program let them use their indoor complex to practice. Mm-hmm. Was it? I saw the picture yesterday, so probably Wednesday night. The Rams were in Ames to take advantage of those facilities and practice indoors. So that's actually going to be part of our Claxons question today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tiebreaker is going to be both of the semifinal scores.
Oh, okay.
Combined.
Yeah, so two
closest
games.
Without going over.
All right, closest without going over. All right, I have my estimate.
I'm going to go, well, I, you know what, I'm not participating in, I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Maybe you'll throw it in with our picks.
Boy, our picks, Trent. I'm coming off back-to-back 1-4s.
Back-to-back 4-1s for this guy.
You are pulling away in this
Mr.
contest.
Friday late morning.
Yes, that's true. You're having a pretty good run. So we'll see. That's coming up just before we skedaddle at 11:55-ish. So you and I went down to defeat again last night. You said that Vermont's good and a sneaky team, a team that you certainly don't want to take lightly. Boy, these Panthers, Trent, this is not the, obviously, Mr. Captain Obvious, not the start you want to get off to. Alarm bells ringing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there is a really big disconnect right now with the offense for the second
they
consecutive
can't shoot.
Game. It's not that they can't shoot. They can't,
well,
get
they
any
can't make
sets.
A basket.
They can't get any sets. It just it looks like...
Did you watch any of it last night?
I did. And, you know, point guard spot, AJ Green, just trying to round into that form. It's one thing to be in the gym and to be playing, but a year away is going to do this. And they looked really, really bad both games offensively. It was, hopefully Austin Fife can go get an offensive rebound and put it back in. That was about as good of an offense as they could find. Green was better last night, but he wasn't great by any means. He shot the ball better.
Well, free throws he missed a bunch.
And
it doesn't seem like he would normally do.
No, not at all. Zero assists.
Where's Bowen Bourne? I mean, obviously he's not playing. Right. What's the situation there?
I haven't
heard. Know?
Yeah, I hadn't heard. I'm going to guess it's obviously an injury, uh-huh. but without him out there, Heisey, I never walked away overly impressed by him last year. And same thing this year. He's really struggling. It mm-hmm. almost seems like maybe this is a little too big of a stage for him. He's not quite, certainly a starting level player at the MVC level. I thought you saw that last year. He was young. Now you're seeing it this year, too. Yeah, without Bourne out there, that's a big, big problem. It hasn't been what's happened inside, and that's sometimes a problem for you and I. It's been the guard play. You know, mm-hmm. Burhau, he's been
couldn't
okay.
Shoot. Pickford, yeah. couldn't shoot. They were combined 3 for 15.
Well, and Pickford is what he is. He's just a physical beast in there. You know, he can go in there, he can rebound, mm-hmm. use his athleticism. Not a great offensive player by any means. It's just a team that feels broken right now, 2 games in, which wow. is crazy. Because I really thought this team had a real shot yeah. of being up there with Drake and Loyola. I thought mm-hmm. they were going to be that good. 2 games in, not even close.
Well, football last night. Did you watch any of the college game? What did you spend more time on, the NFL or the college game?
NFL.
Did you?
Yeah. But I watched a little bit. Now, early, after I, of course, had Pitt and I'm down early.
Well, you looked like.
Or I had Carolina. I was down early. I'm like, well, it's over.
It certainly seemed like it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Pickford was just, he couldn't. He was really good early, and mm-hmm. then the rains came.
Yes.
And what a difference that made to that mm-hmm. football game. I don't think it came close to the total, did it?
No, it was a huge, it was like, it went off at 72.
70-something, yes. Right?
But it was higher as the week went on. People saw the rain was coming,
oh,
and that's why
really?
It started to go down.
Okay.
I think it was maybe 76 at one point. Huh. It was really, really high, but, well, the rain was the Oof. Difference, as you could saw. And then, when you have a ticket, Carolina plus 6.5. What do you don't want?
I don't want overtime.
I wanted the kid to miss the field goal at the
yeah.
end. End of regulation.
Right.
Just miss the field goal. It's
all right. And then if you are going to get beat, you want your team to, you know, not let them score first, because then they will kick the extra point. It wasn't your night in that respect.
Broken hand for Bowen Bourne.
Is that what it is?
The Chad Smith for helping out with
Thank
that
you,
one.
The Chad Smith. I heard from the Chad Smith. He was in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Hope he had fun.
Out there for his anniversary, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, Bowen worked for him at the Norwalk shop when Bowen was in high school.
Broken
so.
Hand, wow.
Yeah, that's impactful.
Yeah,
they need him back in a big, big way.
The college game was fun. The NFL game, Trent, it's just these.
You asked me yesterday.
It's unbelievable.
How did the Ravens lose this game? I said,
I just
you
did.
Watch the NFL?
It's been crazy this past week. Now I'm starting to rethink. Well, how does Tennessee lose this week? Well, did you watch last week?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm starting to think I'm on the wrong side of this one. There was a couple that just jumped off the page at me, Mr. 1-4.
Bills, Jets, is it a foregone conclusion
no.
the Buffalo's going to go into the Meadowlands and win mm-hmm. that game? You can't say that anymore.
You walked in here for about the total of 15 seconds for our pre-show meeting
yes.
today. I think the only sentence you said was, who's good in the NFL?
Yeah.
Who is good in the NFL?
Arizona?
Maybe. Probably. Who else?
Arizona?
It's
a team that lost at home to a very depleted Green Bay team just 2 Thursdays ago.
Right. And who the Vikings probably should have beat. But
yeah.
you can say that about the Nebraska Vikings. But they're so similar, both the Huskers and the Vikings. Finding
Don't put
way
that
to lose.
Taint on the Vikings.
Yeah,
come on.
I probably should. That's unfair.
They're not that big of a losers, are
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they probably. They've had
it's
one
close.
Of those years. One of those disappointing years where seemingly, you know, play here or play there. Is Tennessee good?
I don't think so.
Is Buffalo good?
No.
Is Cleveland good?
No.
Are the Chiefs good?
No.
Chargers?
No.
All right. So we've just gone through the AFC.
All right.
Packers?
Yes.
I agree. Cowboys?
Last week, you probably watched a lot more
Every
of the game
Every single play.
So... It was the physicality, right? We're going to run it right at the mm-hmm. because the defense has been Micah Parsons. Well, he's not the biggest linebacker by any means.
No, but he's as fast as anybody in the league.
But we're going to play bully ball. We're
uh-huh.
going to play physical with you. That's how you beat this Dallas team. So is the blueprint out, or is it just any given Sunday?
Well, the Broncos said that the blueprint is out, mm-hmm. is how teams are going to beat this team, and the Cowboys did not like that. And the fact they were lipping off all week long, CeeDee Lamb, the latest of which made some news yesterday. I still think the Cowboys are good.
Not great.
Not great. All
good,
right.
Is good Tampa, is fair.
Is good. Is Tampa good?
Yes, they're good. Their defense has problems.
Uh-huh.
Especially the pass defense. But yeah, they're good.
Are the Rams good?
Yes, they're good.
Despite what we saw last week?
We both think
Tennessee's okay.
I just think that was any given Sunday. That's what
yeah.
I'm going to chalk up the Rams loss last Sunday night to. Because watching that, it was kind of weird. they felt out of sorts. There's going to be those weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not falling into the trap of overrating what we saw a week ago. I'm okay with the Rams, and certainly before the Odell news, which...
Right. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that.
I don't
he's from a Rams perspective. Hasn't been good since he was a better Giant. When he broke into the league, you're thinking the sky's the limit, right? And then we saw that amazing catch. Was it Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football?
It was a primetime game.
Yeah, it was a primetime game. I think it was because Collinsworth was there, so it must have been Sunday Night Football. Anyways, let's do the locals real quick before we get into them in depth with Kakert and Sproul. Either of the two teams, which of the two teams is more likely to not finish the deal this weekend?
Oh, it's Iowa, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. Do you really see Iowa State losing to this Texas Tech team?
Tech beat West Virginia in Morgantown.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw what West Virginia, and again, this was early October.
Texas Tech doesn't have a coach.
No, that's true.
Well, they've hired a coach, mm-hmm. but... they don't have a coach.
And they are holding back as to who the quarterback is going to be.
Yeah.
Look, Iowa State saw Shuck on January 1st last year. And he was wearing an Oregon suit at the time.
Right.
And then the other kid who's apparently, he hardly plays. I think his name's Armstrong. I don't think I've seen him play at all. He played a little against Kansas.
I don't think it matters.
No, I don't think it does either.
I would be shocked. I would not
So
shocked.
No look ahead to Oklahoma.
No, I guess he could play. I was not shocked by the Baylor game. I could see that happening. I was surprised by the West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
This one would be by far the most shocking loss
mm-hmm.
if they took of the three that would be in the Big 12. This would be the one where I would say, whoa.
Yeah.
West Virginia, okay, you can kind of, all right, makes sense. They got some dudes and Deggy played as well as maybe he has in his career.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Baylor, we see, is
yeah,
a good
physical.
Team. And I warned people going into that week, mm-hmm. watch out. So I think a lot of people were sleeping on Baylor mm-hmm. going into that one. This one here, I just don't see a path.
Now,
I just don't.
Do you, before we get to Iowa and Minnesota, do you give Baylor a shot this weekend? I know we're going to talk about it with Bama. Do you give Baylor a shot against Oklahoma?
A shot, sure.
But do you like the Sooners in the game?
That's one of my picks this week.
Is it?
It's
okay.
on my list.
All
it's
right.
I had a lot more NFL than college, though, this week, which scares me because that is normally not the case. But yeah, a week off for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of negativity. A lot of only ranked eighth and what they need to do, yada, yada, yada. I think this is a team. And Lincoln Riley, by the way, coming off of a bye, really good.
Is he?
He's been really good in his career. So I kind of put all those things together. And Baylor, I don't know. Bohannon just is so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Against Iowa State, he was excellent, especially
mm-hmm.
in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
Inconsistency for him. I wonder if the wheels are coming off a little bit there. After
they're just starting to figure them out maybe a little bit. They're starting to get some tape on them. And maybe. I think it's going to be a good football game. That's where I'll be tomorrow morning.
I'll be in Iowa City.
Okay.
Freezing.
Tailgating,
freezing, drinking whiskey, trying to stay warm.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how anybody does it, drinking
whiskey.
Oh, it's
great.
You know, dude, the whole bourbon craze, too.
Yeah.
Do you really think that everybody that on Twitter on a Friday or Saturday night that feels they have to go out and get one of those big ice cube balls,
mm-hmm.
and they go out and they purchase some bourbon, do you really think they like it? Because I don't.
Yeah.
You really do.
It's an acquired taste. Did you like beer the first time you tasted
yes.
it? The very first time
I remember where I was at Uncle Sam's. I was like 6 years old, and it was a Carling's Black Label. And Uncle Sam, took me behind the barn, because there's two entrances to the barn, and they're all having a beer, and he gave me a sip of it. And I can remember the taste of it to this day.
And
Carling's
you liked
Black,
it.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna guess you're kind of off on a cliff on your own on that one. I think most people, it's more of an acquired taste.
Beer?
Yes.
Come on. Now, bourbon, I'll give you, or scotch. It's like drinking fuel, like petrol. So, I don't believe people like bourbon as much as they try to pass that they do. I think that they're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, there's plenty of that out
for
there.
For sure there is. Yeah. Well, all the cool people are drinking bourbon. I better go get a big ice cube and run to the store and get myself, what do they drink?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, there's a couple of them.
Yeah.
Knob Creek and Cody Gold. I don't get it.
I'm with you. I like beer. I
right.
drink beer.
But, But you can drink whiskey to stay warm at the tailgate.
Well, a little fireball shot or two, you know, something like that, warm the belly and go from there. No, it's not going to be sipping. It's going to be, I'll be drinking beer the whole time, and I'll be drinking cheap domestic beer because that's what I do, because that's what I like. And I don't need to keep up with the beer snobs either.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the whiskey snobs. You beer snobs too, the same way. No, just give me a Coors Light.
Yeah.
I am tickled pink. That's all I need. I don't need anything with a bunch of hops and extra barley.
And
just on and on and on. I don't need an IPA. Give me a good American beer, or even a Canadian beer, I'm fine with. Some Molson.
Yeah, Labatt's.
Yes.
And the good stuff.
Every time I go to Michigan, that's...
That's what you get?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ann Arbor, they had specials last time I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Drank a lot of that.
All right, 10:15, Iowa, Minnesota. So you think that this is a, not a tricky spot, but of the two, if one of them was to go down in flames, you think it would be the Hawks. What do you want to see from Padilla tomorrow?
I want to see, more than anything, the offense. And I want to see Brian actually work to make an offense that makes sense for Padilla. Not just what we do, but utilize a guy for the first time in a long time that can move around, that can make plays with his feet. Move the pocket. You've had this jet sweep in the playbook, and it comes out from time to time, but have it be a bigger part of the offense. Keep those defensive ends for Minnesota, which are excellent. Keep them on their toes. Give them something else outside of zone left, zone right.
Right.
They went more gap blocking last week and more straight ahead, but of course, what are they doing it behind? They're doing it behind Linderbaum. They're doing it behind Shooter. That's what they did last week. You got to be more diversified. You have to have more here and have one of those game plans where Iowa understands, hey, we can't win this one 17-13. Let's go out and put a game plan together like we did against Ohio State in 2017, against USC in 2019. Put together those kind of game plans that say we have to score to win.
Game plan, that was an all-timer. Holiday Bowl, that was terrific.
They were doing all kinds of things. Last time Minnesota was in town, 2 years ago, and that high-powered offense.
Or no, one loss.
Oh, no, unbeaten.
And they were unbeaten when they were.
They were not at all.
Picked off the next week too, right?
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
They came in, but that was a high-powered offense. Iowa said, all right, we're going to have to score probably to beat this team. And that first half offense was incredible. What they do in the second half, of course, the Ferentz lockbox came out and they held on for dear life. But you need to come up with a scheme and a game plan that fits Alex Padilla. Use him in a way that puts him in a chance to be the most successful. Got all the reps this week, all these different things. That's what I want to see more than anything from Padilla. He's just got to play well.
When we look at the box score either tomorrow night or Sunday morning, who's the leading receiver? Is it one of the freshmen?
I don't know. I don't have a feel for that. That it's going to be. Yeah, you know, we heard after the game that Keegan Johnson mentioned, you know, they practice a lot more together.
Bruce did the same thing.
So those two guys, it would make sense. But maybe more than anything, you need to get Tyrone Tracy.
Well,
I mean, the chirping from his family, and you're going down that route.
See, now, I thought that last week that they tried to implement him more in the game plan. They were looking for him a little bit more.
He had five targets.
Yeah.
A couple catches,
That followed the criticism from what it was, his brother, I think, that was piping up. I think it was his brother.
He was a great running back in high school. Find ways to get him involved. Mm-hmm. Him and Arlen Bruce, those guys in space, use them in that jet sweep action. I think it's going to also open up what you can do in the run game with Goodson if you do those kind of things. It just feels like the last few weeks they've gone back to just the most vanilla kind of playbook that they possibly can have. Can't do that. Don't do that against Minnesota here. With that offensive line, I just don't think it works well.
They don't
well
trust
enough.
Their quarterback, Trent. That's what that tells me. You know, I read in Chad Leitzikow's article today, I didn't realize this, Fleck has never led in a game against Iowa.
Yeah.
Fleck has never led. They
if
never
you would have
lead.
Listened to the Degenerate Hawkeyes podcast earlier this week, you would have had that.
So maybe Leitzikow did.
Thank
is
you,
that
Chad,
what you're saying?
For listening, though. That's good work. And my buddy Statboy that put together that information. Yeah, Fleck has never even led
that's
against
wild.
Ferentz.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, look at... I guess a toss up that one. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow? Not like this. It's going to be a little warmer. I mean, it's Minnesota. They're a northern school, so that doesn't affect anything.
I think I saw the high was 42.
What's the winds going to be like?
10 to 12.
Okay.
So not overly debilitating, but a breeze inside of there. Going to be chilly. First real cold game, right, of the year.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we've, I guess, got somewhat lucky to get to the middle of November with this type of weather, right? And next week's supposed to warm up a little bit even further. So, anyways.
How about you? What do you want? to see something from Padilla?
Yes, I do. I want to see him take a step forward.
Yeah.
I want to see him make it impossible to for them to give Petras the ball next week.
Take
because
the job.
Because it sounds like they want to.
It does sound that way.
When you read the quote yesterday a couple of times talking about you can go and don't write it in pen, I think was what how Ferentz put it. So that's what I want to see. I want to see him take this job. And open up the playbook. Show a little bit more trust because they obviously don't trust Spencer Petras in the pocket. And I can understand why. He's not mobile by any means. But, you know, take the training wheels off. We'll see if they do. I'm not so sure they will. Anyways, we'll continue on here. What do you expect to see from Iowa State on the hardwood tonight? Is this a close game? The point spread was a little tighter than, you know, I thought it was going to be.
One thing that I was surprised by, and talking to a few Iowa State people too, Oregon State last year, of course, made that great run in the tournament. Get all the way to the Elite Eight, right there with Houston in that game. I mean, they were minutes away from playing in the Final Four, which is crazy. Now, the only reason they got in the NCAA tournament, they won the Pac-12 tournament.
Right.
They were not good last year.
No.
By any means. In fact, going into the Pac-12 tournament, they were a robust 14-12. They win three straight there. They win three straight in the NCAA tournament. This was not a very good team. They lost their best player from a year ago in Ethan Thompson. Ken Pom has them as the 71st best team in the country. That's where they're ranked right now. So maybe we're just overrating that run a little bit, and that's why this point spread is tighter than you would think.
They were mediocre in conference play last year.
They were.
But they were playing a team that was awful in conference play last year. I just want to look. It to me, it's all about development for Otzelberger's first year. You know, it's seeing this team want to play for him. They're listening to him. They're doing what he's asking them to do, and they certainly did in game number. There was just no flow to the game, Trent.
Right.
There was no flow. All the fouls, for God's sakes, and the free throws. It was just like, oh my God. It was let him play. I get that it's early in the year, and this is when they're going to crack down, right?
Always.
They're trying to set the tone for this is how we're going to call it in conference play, but then they don't. I don't know. We'll see. Iowa, meanwhile, tonight, right?
Yeah. Against UMKC.
You're right. I just want.
It'll be a clubbing.
Well, there's no way to watch the game, right?
ESPN Plus, or BTN Plus,
BTN Plus?
Yep. The subscription-based.
So do you have to pay for BTN Plus, or do you get it if you're a DirecTV guy?
Nope, it's an extra add-on. It's an extra $9.99 a month or something like that. So, yeah, that'd be double streaming for you.
Yeah, no, I'm out. By the way, speaking of that, did you see that there's a NFL rumor? You know who's going after Sunday Ticket? And I know this kind of scares me. You know who wants it?
I'm going to guess Amazon.
ESPN.
Oh.
What's that going to do?
ESPN Plus.
Right.
Right.
No more 7:06, 7:07, 7:14 for the late afternoon windows.
Kicking and screaming.
It is. Anyways, kicking and screaming to do this. Let's try. We have not had a winner at KXNO.
Come on, let's go.
We have not had a winner this entire, what has it been now, 3 weeks of this promotion, roughly?
Yeah.
Of the $1,000 handoff. What we are asking you to do right now for your chance to win a grand is text the keyword bills to 200-200. Right now, it's your chance to win $1,000. Bills to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Your former producer, Ken Thompson, called in.
Yes.
Said you're not alone. He also loved the taste of beer the first time he tasted it.
Yeah, no, boy, Mr. T. I still don't think that there's a lot of folks out there that really are drinking bourbon just to keep up with the cool folks.
Mark Hanrahan, he sent us a picture of his. He's got a lot of whiskey there.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, I'm not saying that there's none. I know I don't. Maybe I'm coming across this painting with a pretty broad brush.
What, us?
But just, come on. Anyways, we'll take our time out. 10:25 on a Friday. We're going to play the hits next. Hawks and Clones. Then Bama Bob, Trent, and I around college football to kick off hour number two. Claxon's Barbecue. Now that'll warm you up.
That's some good stuff.
That will warm you up. And then our picks before we get out of here at noon. Trent and Joe Stacy have both of the 5A semifinals tonight. 4 o'clock and 7-ish on 96.9 The Bull. We're Miller and Condon. We are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3
The Beer.
All right, Just past 10:30 on a Football Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller, and we take you until noon. Cyclone fans, you'll hear from Dave Sproul. He covers Iowa State, KASI, and Ames here in about 15 minutes or thereabouts right now. Our friend Tom Cakert, he does likewise for the Hawkeyes at HawkeyeReport.com. He's got a double dip this weekend. Carver Hawkeye tonight, Kinnick tomorrow. It's a busy time of year, Tom Cakert. How are you?
It is a busy time of year, but it's a good time of year. I enjoy the staying busy with covering both sports this time of year, and so we'll do that to Kansas City tonight and then Minnesota tomorrow.
And then before we know it, it'll be early signing day, and business will be brisk. Well, let's start since go in order, since the basketball is tonight. Your takeaway from earlier in the week, I enjoyed watching the game, Tom. It wasn't the best of competition, but it looks as though they're going to be a fun team. If they concentrate on the defensive end of the floor, as they will clearly have to do once they get into Big Ten play, this team's got some upside to it. That was my takeaway. Your thoughts?
I think so too. I think this is an interesting team, and I don't think we know quite yet what they are. I mean, if they make like 18 threes or whatever the other night, if they do they're gonna win a lot of games. You know, that's just how it is. But I don't expect them to do that on a regular basis. But I think, you know, Keegan Murray looks like he's legit, but, you know, it's Longwood, so we got to see him against some good teams too. And Jordan Bohannon shot it well. Patrick McCaffrey's looked good. Chris Murray looked good. And they came out and they played really good defensively. And Joe Toussaint kind of setting that tone defensively, which is, I think, what every Iowa fan wanted to see.
He's played really well. Well, played really well on Tuesday night. So going forward with this team, it's one game. It's against Longwood, but did it change your perception at all? Did you get juiced up, jazzed up a little bit more about maybe what this team is? But if I remember correctly, Tom, you're pretty high on this team coming in, at least a chance to be a tournament team.
Yeah, I was like 20-11, and I might be. I think the one of the reasons I felt better about Iowa was I saw the result of the Virginia Navy game, and then I go, "Hey, you know, Virginia's just not that good, I guess." And you know, so that potentially, you know, that'd be a tough game, obviously. But you know, potentially, you know, if Iowa gets a win there, and there's a route for them to go undefeated in the non-con, and that would. That gets you off to a pretty good start. I just think the games they're going to struggle in are the ones that everybody's going to struggle in. When you have to go against Kofi Coburn and Hunter Dickson and Zach Edey, they're going to have a problem because they just don't have a lot of effective size at this point in the year.
Yeah, I'm guessing Edey didn't shrink over the what? How tall is he? 7'2"?
7'4".
7'4". 7'4", unbelievable.
Tom, I think that's what he's listed at in the program.
Jesus, unbelievable. Your thoughts on Rebraca? Look, it's one game. You probably saw him in the exhibition. Far cry from North Dakota, from Grand Forks to Iowa City and playing in the Big Ten. Your thoughts from what you've seen so far in him?
He's been okay. They didn't need him offensively. I thought he was good defensively and really active and really kind of helped set that tone. In the last couple of years, and this is no, I mean, Luka Garza was amazing thing, and that those teams were really fun, but there were a lot of games where they kind of came out slow. In this team, in both games, now it's lesser competition, so it's you have to account for that, but they've just come out of the gate just breathing fire on the defensive end, and Rebraca has been really active on that end of the floor, and I think that's real important.
With that, let's get into some football. It's Minnesota, and it is Alex Padilla, at least on the depth chart. Some cryptic things being taken maybe out of context from Kirk Ferentz in his coach's show earlier in the week. Do you anticipate it's going to be Padilla, or is there even the slightest of chances that Spencer Petras pops out there, trots out onto the field, and is met with a chorus of boos?
Oh, boy. It would be kind of ugly if Spencer runs out there. I don't think you want to put that kid in that position. It's just it's a recipe for a huge distraction for him. The way I've looked at it all week is start Padilla, and if Padilla struggles and Spencer is available, bring him in then. Mm-hmm. You can always go to the bullpen, and maybe that'll help Spencer reset coming in that situation. But I think you got to see what you got with Padilla. And I know Kirk doesn't want to do that more than likely, but I think you got to do it. You have to play him and see what you got and see if he can get you to the, but if Padilla comes out and plays well, the quarterback race is over, isn't it?
I think it should be.
You just have to go with Padilla the rest of the season.
Yep. I'm with you. Tom, when you look at the Gophers team, obviously the injuries at the running back position. I mean, opening night, that Thursday night, Ibrahim had what, $150, a buck, maybe north of that before he got hurt in the Ohio State game. He was running. I mean, they couldn't stop him. So we started, that was maybe our first indication that the Buckeyes defense is, they took a step back. But since then, we all got excited about that 4-game winning streak. And I'll give you the win at West Lafayette. This is a good Purdue team beating number 2 and number 3. But since then, Nebraska, Maryland, and Northwestern before last week, Tom, that was an ugly game, and I watched all of it against Illinois. I don't know what to make of this Minnesota team. Iowa should win this football game.
Yeah, they're just really, if you shut down their run game, you shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner, one of the more surprising stats that I looked up yesterday was, that's right, my game previews. Morgan's got 6 passing touchdowns and 7 interceptions this year, and that's a veteran quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's good in the RPO game, but beyond throwing the ball, he's just not very good. I just don't think they have but that's the challenge for Iowa, right, is the going up against that massive offensive mm-hmm. line that, the one guy that's, is joking with Joe Evans, what's it like to go up against a 6'8", 400-pound guy when you're 250 pounds? And he just kind of got a smile on his face. He said, well, you got to be quicker than them.
Yeah.
But they've always seemed to be able to, these guys have been playing for 3 years, mm-hmm. basically that entire line. And Iowa's been able to handle them fairly easily. So I think as long as they can, they got to get out early and score early. Iowa does have to get a lead. You can't play from behind. And if you shut that run game down, I think Iowa gets a victory.
How close we're going to see a quarterback change, we feel, with the Hawkeyes. How close is Tanner Morgan to losing his job to Kramer, or another young guy inside the program?
They were calling for it, weren't they, last week? The fans were, at least.
It was ugly.
Yeah. I don't know. This Minnesota team's just weird. I mean, mm-hmm. you wouldn't expect them to lose to, that Bowling Green loss is maybe one of the worst losses in college football this year, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, was that before? They shut out Colorado, and the Buffs aren't good.
It was a week later.
Oh, yeesh.
They're good on the road, though. That's the thing. They've been good on mm-hmm. the road this year. They've been a good road team and a bad home team.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Kinnick.
Yeah, let me ask both of you guys this. Well, you both like to dabble in sports. What do you think what price could you get that the Hawks run the table?
3 games. They'll be favored here, next week, and a slight favorite against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Oh, probably plus +250, something mm-hmm. like that. Well, I don't think I'd bet it.
Yeah. Because you think Nebraska's prime, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
It's the last game of the year. That's their bowl game. Mm-hmm. Well, you got a couple of weeks before we have to talk about that one. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, great stuff. Just your thoughts, Tom, on the 1 o'clock kickoff that seemingly came out of nowhere. Senior Day, Illinois, FS1 is going to be there. I have no idea what they're broadcasting prior to. But a 1 o'clock kick, kind of a turn back the clock to that spot as far as the 1 o'clock on the for a kickoff, huh?
Yeah, I joked that they should make it like 70s or 80s day, and let fans since they're allowing alcohol in, let us bring those old wine bodas.
Yeah,
that was back in my day in the early 80s when we'd bring these wine bodas and smuggle in alcohol to the games.
Well, then they wouldn't let TV cameras in if we're going to turn the camera or the clock back. And
true.
Got to watch those games. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, great stuff. We will talk to you in advance of that Illinois game a week from today. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. HawkeyeReport.com for Tom Kakerd. HawkeyeReport.com. Plus 250, huh?
Plus 250 to run the table.
Mm-hmm.
You're confident about this?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I was going to say.
I got to get past Minnesota first. And Illinois pops up now and then.
They do.
It's senior day. They're not losing.
You know what the lead-in to the Iowa-Illinois game
I don't.
On
what
FS1?
Is it?
It's basketball.
Oh,
to our
who
window.
Is it?
UConn hosting Tony Kornheiser's alma mater, Binghamton. There's a lead-in for you.
Yeah, really. You think many people will be watching that or maybe on football?
Plenty of people will be on watching UConn up there in Connecticut.
Yeah.
They love their Huskies.
What's the Big Ten East tilt in that window? There's got to be one. Well, it's Oklahoma-Iowa State next window at 11.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the big one for us. Big Ten-wise, Michigan State-Ohio State's the big
pretty big
kickoff.
Yeah, pretty big. We will take a timeout. The Big Noon kickoff, I thought, is Oklahoma-Iowa State.
Oh, you might.
Yeah, I'm positive.
You're right. Yeah, that's ABC for Michigan State.
Gotcha. All right, we'll come back. Dave Sproul, KSI, 1430 on the AM dial. Iowa State conversation. They've got Oregon State at Hilton. They're on the road in Lubbock to take on the Red Raiders. Miller and Condon are on 106.3.
800 bets off.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon. I meant to do this prior to our Hawkeye piece with Tom Kaker, but if you'd like to win Hawkeye tickets to Senior Day next Saturday versus Illinois, it's a 1 o'clock kick, go to the Miller and Condon Twitter page. There where you'll see the pinned tweet, courtesy of our friends Dr. Stephen Fuller, East 29th Street, and, of course, Southwest 8th Street in Des Moines if you're looking for a dentist. You want to use that dental coverage before it expires, Dr. Fuller and his staff accepting new patients. Anyways, Illinois tickets, totally yards, tomorrow's Minnesota-Iowa game, closest without going over. You must use the hashtag at Fuller Dental. And if you use the number that's already been taken, whoever gets that number first will get those ducats. Miller and Condon Twitter page, as simple as that. You can see all the rules pinned at the top of our page. And now on to Iowa State, where Dave Sproul covers them for KASI. I saw him covering a future Cyclone at a signing day ceremony. At least I saw a picture of him. Boy, he knows where the camera is. Yeah, he had the microphone right in front of Lipsy, and he wanted to make sure.
It's like Phil Hattie back in the day over in Iowa City.
That's a great point. Hello, Dave Sproul. How are you?
I'm just catching all the angles, fellas.
You really? Well, Dave, let's talk about Lipsy. I mean, stays home. Trent's seen him play. You've obviously seen him play a bunch. What kind of Big 12 player do you anticipate he'll become? Or, you know, let's tap the brakes and wait a couple of years because it's, you know, we need to see more. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, obviously I'm a cautious cat when it comes to trying to extrapolate how a high school kid is going to translate into college ball. But I think Lipsy's got a great opportunity ahead of him. He's got some versatility. He can play the one or the two. He's got some explosiveness. He can really drive to the basket. Very speedy guy. He's got state track champion caliber speed as well. So I think he's going to be in a good position. I think T.J. Otzelberger and his crew will find ways to use him very well, along with, you know, Eli King and Tyrese Hunter is a freshman for Iowa State this year. That's the makings of a pretty strong backcourt for, you know, 2-3 seasons together in Hilton Coliseum.
Eli King, you mentioned him, Minnesota kid, tapped into the Minnesota connections to pick him up in the class. Damarian Watson, though, a guy that I guess of the three, maybe not as well-known Minnesota kid, but had some really good offers coming out. Florida was involved, Cal, Creighton, Vanderbilt, before he ultimately chose Iowa State. Just a guy I'm just not as familiar with as I am, opposed to the other two. What do you know about Watson?
Yeah, not much, personally, as someone who doesn't keep a terribly close eye on the whole recruiting world. His name wasn't really on my radar, and the only reason King was kind of on my radar to begin with was because he and Damon Lipsy are AAU teammates, so they're, I guess, kind of a package deal, but according to Iowa State, you know, Watson's the top 150 guy by Rivals, 156 in the 24/7 composite, and you get a guy around there, you're probably getting a pretty quality player. And we'll have to wait and see. You know, he's got a long wingspan apparently, and you know, he's got some other qualities, I'm sure, to him that Iowa State likes, but I just don't know much and haven't seen really any of him playing at all. So I couldn't tell you much, I'm afraid.
Well, what did you see on Tuesday night? Obviously, there was zero flow to the game with 50-plus fouls in it, Dave. But I did see effort at the defensive end of the floor. The two Big Ten transfers are going to make a major impact. Brockington, of course, Kalscher, going to have a major impact, as you would assume that they would, upperclassmen on this team. Your thoughts from what you saw on Tuesday?
Yeah, it was a little bit messy, and Iowa State, if anything, was probably overly aggressive, which is probably better than the alternative of not being aggressive enough, but it just kind of got away from him when I think T.J. Altsberger said after the game, you know, the hands might have been a little too active and trying to, you know, smack the ball away a little too much. He specifically, you know, when he was talking about Tyrese Hunter making his debut as a freshman for Iowa State, maybe trying to do too much, and that's kind of natural, I guess, when you're new to the scene and trying to overdo it. And your coach has been, you know, preaching aggressiveness and playing hard, and maybe you come out, you commit a few too many fouls early, and then the refs get wistful happy, and you end up with a ton of trips to the free throw line, and the game just takes forever. But for Iowa State, you saw the effort. That's the big thing. You saw the effort. You want to see the want to, at least on defense, and if they can, you know, balance that out, playing a little smarter, along with that aggressiveness, then you'll be right where TJ and company wanted to be.
Oregon State tonight, big one. Pac-12 team comes in, team that played in the Elite Eight last year, but not a whole lot of buzz, at least as it pertains to this game on a national level. Neither team ranked in the top 25. What do you expect tonight? Do you expect to see the Oregon State team we saw last year during March, or the one we saw most of the regular season before that?
Yeah, I got to confess, I don't know much about the Beavers. I think they've lost some of the top players that were on that team last year, so they might be in a bit of a rebuilding mode themselves, but it's going to be a quality opponent. They're a favorite for a reason, although it's just a slight one from what I understand. Again, it's the kind of thing where you go out there, if you're an Iowa State fan, you got to remind yourself this is game two with a new coach and a bunch of new guys, so look for the effort. Maybe, you know, the outcome might not be what you want it to be, but if they are a group that that puts it all out there and fights hard to the end, that's about all you can ask for.
Indeed. Dave Sproul, KSI, 1430 on the AM dial. Well, Iowa State, the football team, off they go on the road, Dave Sproul. And look, their two Big 12 losses have both been on the road. They lost in Waco and, of course, lost in Morgantown, back on the road after beating Texas convincingly last week. Road is, I don't want to say it hasn't been kind. It's not like they haven't won on the road this year. Beating K-State that was a road game, obviously. What do you expect to see in this game? For whatever reason, I think it's going to be closer than maybe the point spread says that it is. I mean, I believe Iowa State will win the football game and then get to Norman next week with still everything to play for. How did you find the team, and do you expect this to be a close game tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know that I expect a close game. Maybe for 2.5, 3 quarters, Texas Tech can hang with them. But there's some questions at quarterback. Looks like Henry Columbia will be out with an illness. So they're going to go with Tyler Shuck, the transfer from Oregon. If he's healthy enough, he's recovering from a broken collarbone. Or they have to go with a redshirt freshman, Donovan Smith, who's played in 7 games so far this season and has had some significant time out there on the field. But still, we're talking about a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. So really don't know what you're going to get in that situation if you're Texas Tech. So I would expect, you know, Iowa State with its experience and its depth to be able to kind of wear down this Texas Tech squad. I mean, they've shown flashes of what they can do. Obviously, we know they have a history of explosive offenses, and they have some guys who could make some plays. But I just think with the questions at quarterback and what Iowa State is bringing on the defense, even though, they might be a little banged up, but Mike Rose played pretty well and, you know, played about a little more than half the snaps on defense last week against Texas, and he should be even more healthier this week. Maybe not 100% by any means, but healthier than he was last week. So I like Iowa State's defense here to control the game and offense to eventually, you know, kind of pull this one away in the second half.
Yeah, Smith played the majority of the Oklahoma game last week. Shuck could not answer the bell, So we'll see. What about the injuries for Iowa State, Dave? Any concern there?
Probably not as much as a week or even 2 weeks ago, especially with Rose. He talked to the media this week about rehabbing his rotator cuff. injury, and he said it was, you know, it's something he works on for about 2 hours a day.
So it was a rotator cuff then. Did they come out? Okay, good.
That's what he said to the media on Tuesday. So he's been working on rehabbing that, and it's not the kind of thing it gets better with rest. You actually have to work at it, and he's been doing that. And so, you know, just over 50% of the snaps on defense last week, I would expect that percentage to go up unless Iowa State can really take control early and you can get a bunch of backups in there to rest your guys. But I think this Iowa State team, you know, not 100%. There's a lot of guys on a lot of teams, I'm sure, are banged up and playing for pain at this point in the season. But I think Iowa State's going to have enough out there. They've developed enough depth to handle the injuries they have at the moment and survive a team like Texas Tech that is not going to be at the same level in terms of their depth and talent.
Tom, I was reading through Tom Manning's transcript, I should say, Dave, and his press conference earlier in the week, and somebody asked him just about what he'll miss about the departing players, and it snapped me into reality. We're getting to that point. Yeah. We're talking about these guys going on. This group of Cyclones, what they've accomplished, even if it doesn't end back in the Big 12 championship game this year, it has been an incredible run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost hard to imagine a team that we're putting Iowa State, a team on the field that doesn't have Brock Purdy or Charlie Kohler or, you know, Colin Newell. Yeah, they're at the center. Brees Hall might or may not be back. He's a junior. Yeah, he can come back.
Right.
But I would guess he'd probably bounce to the NFL. And then the other side, you got Mike Rose and Will McDonald, who,
Eisworth.
You know, he's a junior again, but definitely has an NFL shot. Any Razawike, a long-term, you know, veteran guy. And Greg Eisworth, I mean, he's in his fifth or sixth year as a junior college transfer at Iowa State. That doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of familiar faces who are, you know, in the home stretch of their final season for Iowa State. And it's going to be hard to imagine, you know, a team for Iowa State without those guys. But, you know, it's college football. It has to happen eventually.
Indeed it does. Dave Sproul, KSI 1430 on the AM dial. Dave, we will talk to you in advance of that Oklahoma tilt next Saturday. Recap another week's worth of college basketball. Thank you, Dave Sproul. Appreciate it.
Always my pleasure.
Good to talk to you. Dave Sproul, KASI, 1430 AM in Story County. That's where Iowa State plays in Story County. Well, ready or not, Bama Bob, Trent, and I are going to go around. We've got a handful more than that of college football games we will opine on. Klaxon's Barbecue and our picks in the final hour of the week on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.